Hello, Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. Good to have you listening online. I think we've not had a recording for the last couple of weeks, so it's good to reconnect with you. Let's commit this time into prayer. Let us pray. Father, as we gather in our homes, we pray that you would meet with us in this time of worship, that your spirit would blow in and through what is said, that you would speak into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading is from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 31. John chapter 10, verses 22 to 31. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe me, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we reflect upon it and continue in our series, that you would speak your living word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the last week of this series that we've been following on hearing God's word or voice based on the book How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People by Pete Gregg. It's based on the concluding chapter, chapter 8, which is entitled The Word, the Whisperer and the Way. And there isn't as much material, so maybe the sermon mightn't be as long. We'll see. Basically, it all comes down to listening and following. Or in four simple words, listen and follow Jesus. Now, this is simple, but it isn't easy. It isn't easy to listen to God, as he doesn't always speak to us in easily discernible ways. How do you hear a God who doesn't usually speak with an audible voice? He still speaks to us, but it is often requires discernment and takes time. It took Mary and Cleopas, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it took them 3 hours for the penny to drop and to recognize Jesus. And often it can take much longer for us. But God is continually reaching out to us in many of the ways that we have explored in this series, in the Bible, in prayer, in prophecy, in silence, in dreams, in community, in God's creation, and in the wider culture. And this list is by no means exhaustive, as God speaks to us in the whole of life and has innumerable myriad ways of reaching out to us. The listening bit isn't always easy, as we are sinners and don't always want to hear what God has to say to us. And we have ways of blocking him out too. We can play with our phones, spend an inordinate amount of time on the internet or watching TVs or using drugs and alcohol to numb the pain of our lives and block out what God might be trying to say to us. If we do listen, then comes the following bit. And that can be hard too. As Jesus said to Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, in John 21, verses 18 and 19, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." For Peter, that meant martyrdom. Now, for us, it may not mean physical death, but there is a dying to self, to our own will and ideas, to our selfishness, pride, or laziness. It is never easy to follow Jesus, and it isn't easy for us today either. In our reading in John chapter 10, verse 27 especially spoke to me, where it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We, who are Jesus' sheep, not a very complimentary image, but a true one nevertheless, being stubborn like sheep, and him being the shepherd, we are to listen to his voice. It says that he knows us, which is a comforting thought. He knows us, he knows all about us. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows what is best for us, even if we don't. So we find that the best way in our lives, we find that way by listening to him and saying yes to him. There's a bit in the book written by Jill Weber called, from her book, Even the Sparrow, when she describes approaching God with a heart that says, "The answer is yes, but what is the question?" She says, basically, yes. Yes to whatever God thinks I should do, because he's obviously smarter, wiser, more creative than I am. Yes, because he knows the opportunities or peril lurking around the next corner. Yes, before he tells me what I'm saying yes to, I can say yes. Then I listen with the intent to obey what I hear, because it's all just a crazy big experiment anyway. So basically, we need to say yes to God, to following Jesus in our lives. Yes, when we receive him as Lord and Saviour, and thousands of little yeses in our daily lives. And this isn't easy, and it costs us daily to take up our cross and to follow him. Because he knows us and loves us, we can trust him and follow where he leads. Following Jesus is not a foolproof activity. We may often get it wrong and have to backtrack. We may take some wrong turnings. We may end up in some cul-de-sacs. But he will continue to lead us and guide us if we remain open to him. Sometimes we don't know the way ahead as individuals or as a church community, but God does not abandon us. We are living in difficult times post-pandemic, and the way ahead isn't clear, but God is with us. At the prayer and praise service on Wednesday, after the mad heat of Tuesday. I sensed his presence with us, especially in the silence, as if God was holding us or cradling us. I didn't get any new insights, but knowing God was there was enough. What we most desire and want is God himself, for him to draw near to us in the mess of our lives. We may not listen well or follow well, but we know that God knows us and loves us unconditionally, even when we make mistakes or take wrong turnings. I'd like to close now with the words that Pete Gregg uses at the very end of his book. It sums things up quite nicely. Having explored many different ways in which the Lord speaks, through the Bible and prophecy, through dreams, conscience, community, creation and culture, we must finish where we began, with the ultimate word of God in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who comes to us, covertly disguised in the ordinary, interrupting our conversations upon the Emmaus road. It is his presence that realigns our thinking, his insights that bring the scriptures to life. He enters our homes before we had a chance to tidy them, sits down at our meal tables, half uninvited, and breaks our hearts by breaking bread. Sometimes he speaks dramatically, but mostly quietly with words, full of spirit and life, as it says in John 6:63. The more we say yes to the things he says, the more familiar and precious his voice becomes, until ultimately at the end of the road, at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, we look back with a mixture of wonder and joy and say, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked? And so we arise, put on our coats, and step out into the night. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this series on how to hear your word and how you speak to us. We pray that you would continue to lead and guide us as individuals, as a church community. Help us to discern your voice, to listen and to follow in the paths that you would lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue now in prayer. Let us pray. Father, may your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. We know you as Father, as God of justice. And so we pray for those who are unjustly treated. We pray for political prisoners or those imprisoned for their faith. We remember them now. We know you as God of mercy. And so we pray for compassion for those in need who we remember now. We know you as God of love, and so we pray for peace where there is conflict. We remember them now. You are our God. We are your people. May we hallow your name with our lips and our lives. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us each day our daily bread. We pray for those who do not have enough to eat today. We ask that they may be fed. We pray for those hungry for love and friendship, for forgiveness, peace, or a sense of purpose, asking that they may be fed. We pray that we might be given the daily spiritual food that we need in order to meet the needs of other people. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And forgive us our sins, for we too forgive all who have done us wrong. We pray for those who have hurt us. Asking that we might absorb that hurt and not return it. We pray for relationships where there is discord. We pray for the church that we may be made one. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And do not put us to the test. We pray for those going through trying times, those who are ill or anxious. Those who have been bereaved. Those facing big challenges. Asking that they and we may receive from you strength and guidance, comfort and hope. And in a moment's quiet, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We make our prayers in obedience to Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. I'll close with a blessing. In our hearts and our homes, the love of God. In our coming and going, the peace of God. In our life and believing the strength of God, at our end and beginning, the welcome of God. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Okay, until next time, go well and God bless.